Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV Originals podcast. I'm your host today, Chris. I'm joined by Steve, by Chloe, and by Dan. For this one, go and check out everybody's socials at Steve Hall, at Chloe Bloxham, at Dan underscore club, and myself on Twitter at Mr. Blood Red. We're going to be talking about Liverpool's defeat at the hands of Mikel Arteta's Arsenal side. We're also going to be talking about the title race in general and a few other bits of business, including, apparently, breaking news, Liverpool will be opening the Annie Road end fully for the next game, breaking a club record for attendance. Before we get into it today, thank you everybody who's bought tickets to our live show in Liverpool. We've sold out. 750 of you will be coming to the live show, the celebration of Jürgen Klopp, the day before the last home game of the season, and selling out in Liverpool is like the greatest thing ever. Like, that's just absolutely superb. We genuinely, our minds are completely blown, and it has been all weekend, sold out in 48 hours. Thank you to everybody who's joined. But we will be touring in Belfast on the 24th of March. We will be touring in Dublin on the 25th of March and London in the Indigo at the O2 on Wednesday, the 24th of April. So if you want to get the Dublin and the Belfast tickets, then go to ticketmaster.ie, search the Redmen TV. And if you want to get tickets to us at the Indigo by the O2, that's the 24th of April, and you can go to axs.com, search the Redmen TV. Keo will be joining us for both of the Ireland and Northern Ireland shows, and he will be joining us in London. He is absolutely superb, belting out the songs. We're going to get into it then. Chloe, you were at the game yesterday, for better or for worse? For worse?
It was diabolical. I'm quite glad. You know what? I went last season and I kind of forgot what it felt like to lose a game away from home and have that long, long journey back. But yeah, I got to feel it once again yesterday, and I do not want to feel it again for the rest of the season, please.
No, it wasn't very good. Obviously, I was with Dan. We were watching the game in here yesterday, Steve. We found out this morning that you watched it with a mate of yours. We've lost the last two games. Yeah, watched it together, so that won't be happening again.
Yeah, that's a jinx. That's done for now. We've lost two games this season and watched both of them together. Three, because there's a Europa League game in there as well.
Why would you do that?
Well, it's not happening anymore, is it? So, yeah, it's my fault for having a day off. Chloe's right. It's weird, like, knowing how to react to a loss, because we haven't had to do it. And even we've had one other one in the league, and that one you could explain away quite easily with a VAR decision rather, and two red cards. You can kind of square that one. This was the first time really where Liverpool lost, probably deserved to lose, didn't really turn up and didn't get out of the game. There's been games this year where we haven't properly turned up and still won or got a point. Yesterday, it's a bit like the results, you got the result the performance deserved, albeit the goals were all a bit spawny. You know what I mean? Like, Arsenal didn't rip Liverpool open and score three class goals. But you're half, you know, you deserve that bad luck, if that makes sense, because you make your own luck. Liverpool did nothing to make any luck whatsoever, really. They were flat and they were poor.
Yeah, they were then, weren't they? And, yeah. And you know, Steve just mentioned it there, but Arsenal were unfortunately the better side yesterday.
Yeah, by far and away, to be honest with you. Liverpool, we never got going whatsoever. I mean, there's a five, potentially a 10-minute spell in the second half, sort of just after we got the goal, albeit broken by the half-time interval, of course, whereby we looked okay, and you thought, okay, this is better. Maybe we can get a foothold in the game, and if we can carry on from there, that gives us something to build from. But it never materialised into anything. Liverpool were second best from start to finish, pretty much, and second best in terms of individual battles across the pitch, in terms of collective battles, and just second balls as well. for me. We can, there's obviously loads that went wrong yesterday. Liverpool were nowhere near their A game individually or as a team. And it's the pressing, it was the quality on the ball, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, it was the fundamentals of what was wrong. Because you can, Steve references there, Liverpool haven't been at full tilt a lot this season, but you can never really question that desire or the manner in which they turn up. But I think for the first time for a while yesterday, you probably could, because whether it was a lack of energy, whether it was one too many games in quick succession, going to the well once too often, I'm not quite sure. But when you don't turn up, and you don't turn up at possibly the toughest game we had left up until now, it's done. You get found out. You get found out with Arsenal away if you're not at it. And Liverpool were nowhere near at it yesterday.
I think, Chris, really quick, it's the first game we've started in the league without Nunes or Salah. And I think that was the one for me, is that it was we were a very one-paced team, both in defence and in attack. So McAllister, Jones, Gravenberch, Diaz, Jota, Gakpo, there's no explosivity in any of those players, really. They're all really good technical players, but there's nobody who can sprint fast nobody powerful. And Arsenal had two lads on the wing who were lightning, and they had Declan Rice in the middle who's really powerful. And for the first time in a long time, we've played against an Arsenal team who not is out physical, isn't aware, but they had better physical attributes. Usually, you know, Wenger's side did that to us, and then they moved away from that and they started doing more ticky-tacker type stuff, and it didn't work against us. We used to bully them. We'd run rings around them because we were too fast, too strong for them. And yesterday with the team that Jürgen had to put out because of the injuries and whatever we had, it felt like it was the other way around. It felt like when we used to run through Arsenal, get in behind, Mane and Salah killing them on the transitions, and then Fabinho battering them, Bobby Firmino battering them. It felt like almost the roles had reversed and that we were all a bit samey and they had a little bit more oomph, a little bit more physicality to their game.
Pulling on that thread, Chloe, you were there in the stadium. How did the atmosphere affect the game?
Well, to start with, we obviously knew that their atmosphere was going to be decent, but our end was really, really good for, the first 10 minutes. And then there was chance after chance after chance, and it felt like Arsenal were just absolutely all over us. They get a crap goal, it's just far too much space. It felt like they were pulling us apart. And our end of the atmosphere, obviously, we were like, what? Wake up. We were starting to get more frustrated, more angry, because it was just one, two passes, and they were bypassed our midfield instantly, and it was 1v1s on our defence every single time, and their atmosphere started to get better and better, and I thought at half time, I really did, when we got that goal, our away end went mad, because we were like, we've been absolutely atrocious for 45 minutes here, how the hell have we got a goal? And then it showed on the screens the goal, because we couldn't actually tell what had happened. We just saw the ball eventually go over the line. It was the other end to us, and it shows it on us on the screen, and our fans are laughing and their fans are like fuming. And I thought, Liverpool, come out the second half. All of us are talking and we're going, we come out that second half, we get right at them. This crowd's just being stunned. We need to really attack them and just get after them. They're going to be deflated after that. And they were. We were quite good the first 5-10 minutes. And then the subs happened and I thought to myself, no, this isn't the time to do as many subs or those exact subs for me. I could totally understand Nunes. I'm hoping that Trent was, he had to come off, because for me, I'd have gave him another 15.
Their sports science doctor subbed them. He made them subs, I reckon, on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
I reckon someone told him. Someone said to him, Trent can do an hour, and Robbo and Nunes have got half an hour in them. You're right. They made them very little.
It's important to remember that as well when we have these conversations, though. Yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that Trent didn't play any minutes with Nunes is baffling.
Yeah, because he was starting to
putting
really good balls in the box the last, in that spell as well, but there was no one to get on the end of them, and you feel like Nunes could have been that player.
Yeah, there was one where Gakpo nearly got on the end of it in the first half, wasn't it? Because the use of Trent yesterday, we discussed it yesterday, was really interesting, because he was essentially a flying fullback again, like he used to be. He wasn't doing much of the inverting stuff, so that was interesting. I tend to agree with you, Chloe, and I do wonder, and I raised this yesterday, whether the goal before half time meant that Klopp didn't make changes at the break. Maybe thought, okay, we can go again. It just about changed the message ever so slightly, but we were in the ascendancy, it felt like, when he made the changes, and then we lost all of that immediately after. after it. So it was a very odd time to me. And I wonder whether he could have given it another 5-10 minutes and saying, okay, this is going okay. Let's just leave it.
But then the changes, to back the manager up here, every time he's made changes this season, pretty much it's worked.
Yeah,
and he's been doing these 60-minute subs, change 3-3 and all that type of stuff. The one you would probably have a better argument with is actually the changes against Chelsea didn't really help us for the first 5 minutes we conceded. But then we got a grip on that game, even with the changes, and they got into it, and we you know, got further, got better as the game went on. But sticking on the Trent stuff then, Dan, obviously it was Gomez that was inverting and Trent playing the fullback. It didn't surprise Arsenal, did it?
No, not at all. No, not at all. And I wonder whether Klopp thought it might, because obviously when Trent comes back into the team, you almost automatically, I certainly automatically expected him to be the one sort of popping into those midfield areas because how dangerous a weapon he can be from there. But he stuck to being pretty much a right back, an attacking right back, albeit. But it didn't shock Arsenal at all. They were very well versed in that being a possibility. And Joe Gomez had, he's been absolutely exceptional late, but he was among the many that were really off it yesterday, I felt. It didn't work in the slightest. And I don't think we adapted quickly enough to it either. There's moments whereby Trent and Gomez were popping up in there. I don't think we really sort of worked out that Arsenal were just getting the better of that time and time again, and changing the way we're going about it because of that. Because you're right on Klopp subs, more often than not this season they've worked and they've made us a better team for it in the way he sort of implemented tactical changes in game. There was not a lot of that yesterday, and it was quite disappointing. I wondered at one point, like Pep Linders and Klopp were in conversation, a lot of they were talking about Gomez. I thought we might change it early doors, but we didn't, and we never managed to get a foothold because of it.
Well, you could see Landers, and you won't have seen this, I don't think, Chloe, but see, you might have. He was literally, they were talking and then he was going, Joey, and then he was sort of doing that, and but nothing seemed to change, did it? It just carried on, and that we played into their strength a lot of the time yesterday, and Arsenal's strength, as you mentioned before, Steve, was those players in the middle of the park. Jorginho was excellent. Yeah. Declan Rice was excellent, and Odegaard was finding space.
I think you can include Havertz as well. I think he played in midfield, really. I know he was normally up front, but it was a box midfield. And I think that's half the reason why Trent stayed out wide, because Havertz was kind of in that space anyway, so there was nowhere for Trent to go in. He'd have just been going into Havertz. He was better off staying wide, but it's... listen, we're top of the league. It's one bad result. You don't want to throw the babies out with bathwater. I think the manager got his team wrong, and I think he got his subs wrong, and that's fine. It can happen. It's a bad day's job.
And everyone played like
crap. And everyone was crap. And even... not even... the team itself, like people in certain positions. So I get why Trent might have won the step wide, but still I'd rather him have gone in there than Joe Gomez. Just obviously, I don't know why Gakpo's playing right wing when Jota should, for me, Jota and Diaz could do that better. Gakpo's not a winger, on the right, maybe left, but even then I don't know about that. So his hands were tied by, you know, I'm guessing the injuries to Nunes and obviously Soboslai, which really did hurt us. But I thought Josh has been fantastic off the right and off the left, really, and sticking him up front, you kind of take him out the game, because he's, how do you get on the ball? It's really tough to get on the ball when he's got Saliba and Gabriel to deal with. I'd rather have Jota on Zinchenko. Zinchenko struggles against Liverpool, he always has. He's had, and he got hooked again at half-time yesterday. I don't know if he was injured or it was a change, but it didn't ever really feel like it was fitting. And I agree with kind of what Dan says there. I do wonder if we had nicked that goal, which was, listen, it was the spawniest goal. Yeah, it's ironic that it's handballing against Arsenal, like, that helps us this time, because we didn't at Anfield. But they made me think, you know what, I was going to do so, but now I'll give it 5 because we're back in the game. I don't know, but it's weird because I know the title show was like, the title race blown back open. Like, I wasn't massively impressed with Arsenal as a goal threat. And that's the real disappointment for me, is that we should have got out of there with a 1-1. I'm just being sat here going, we got away with one there. You know, if they had Ivan Toney, or if they had, you know, a striker, they'd be flying. That's what we should be saying here. But because we gift them the goal, we're sat here with a 3-1 loss. Because
yeah, but I think that's really, like, no disrespect, I think just fucking lazy punditry, that.
In
terms of what the narrative is, not what you're saying, the narrative that Arsenal is shit because they haven't got a forward, their pressing is fucking shit.
No, I don't think they're shit, sorry.
And if you put Ivan Toney in there, are they as good a pressing side?
Yeah, they
can score more goals, but are they a good side? It just seems like that's just a narrative that people have just picked up on and just gone with.
No, I think it's hard, because I think what we'd be saying is they do lack a goal threat. Like, Martinelli and Saka both scored yesterday, but it's like I don't know. I never felt like they were going to score.
This is Arsenal side, by the way, and I've not checked it. I think they've only scored about three or four goals less than us.
I know.
And we're the top scorers in the league.
No, no,
like, so this again, goal threat, yada yada yada. Score loads of goals.
I didn't feel like we were in danger of them scoring. And honestly, again, it's different. You were in the stadium. You guys watched. I was in the house, and I felt like they were getting on top, but Alisson wasn't having to make a save.
That's because Saka missed it.
They were.
All right, they've scored five less than us.
They were.
To be fair,
they were getting close, and then this is what Arsenal have been for a while, not quite finishing it off a little bit. And I'm not just saying the striker thing, but like Martinelli and Saka have not been in good goal scoring form, generally speaking, especially compared to last season when they were both absolutely flying. And I just thought, I think if that goal, again, it's all ifs, buts, and maybes and all that kind of stuff. I felt the longer that game went at 1-1, we were going to nick it because maybe not so much on the performance because we were shite and we didn't deserve to win it, but I do think it would have played. I think they'd have got nervous because they know how big a game it was for them. And I think it would have changed inside the Emirates. Unfortunately, our two best players run into each other and they scored. Then from then on, it's all falling apart. So I think we were rubbish, but we were very nearly rubbish and getting a point. And I think it would have been like an undeserved point, but I don't think we're that far off. I didn't feel like they were batting the door down against us to score a goal up until that point when they absolutely flew.
But you've got to respect, haven't you, Chloe, that they've got 4 points against us.
Yeah, six. And that's the thing.
That's what you need to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
We talk about it. How many times we've lost a point by we've lost the league by a point twice, and in both of those seasons we've not took at a minimum of 4 points off Manchester City. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to take a minimum of 4 points off the teams who are in and around you in the title race, but also even 4 points off your biggest rivals in terms of maybe United, Everton. I'm not including in that because I think Liverpool just should be taking 6 points off them. But United away from home at Old Trafford's horrible. And we don't tend to do really, really well there unless Naby Keita's on the pitch. So you've got to take them points. And look, they would have gone 8 points behind us if we'd won that game yesterday. They'd have been out of this title race for all I was concerned, but they're not. And they've shown what they can do. And what I will say is, I understand what you're saying there, because the first 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes of that second half, we got a corner and their fans stood up absolutely raging. Like, you could hear the frustration, the anger inside their stadium, and they'd been much the better side for all of 45 minutes aside from this 10-minute period, but they were fuming at the start of the second half. And I just thought to myself, if we can just keep this pressure on, right, yeah, this crowd's going to go insane. Like, they're gonna be on edge that much. And I just remember we had a couple of really good chances. Jota was starting to get back into the game at that point as well. Felt like he'd been completely phased out, and yet he was picking the ball up in space, and I felt like he should have done a couple of passes a little bit earlier. I remember Luis Diaz has one play to him on the right, and it's basically a pass back to the keeper, and it's horrific, and you're like, what are you doing? Like, you've got to make the keeper work. And then obviously, like you mentioned them, the subs. And look, I thought Ryan Gravenberch was awful. I'm not saying anything else about that. But at that moment, when Arsenal were under the cosh and just lobbing balls up into the air, I thought to myself, keep Ryan Gravenberch on. He's just taller for me. I just trust him a little bit more. And Harvey Elliott came on and he tried to inject something, and fair play to him, because he wanted the ball. He didn't hide. I don't think he was horrific. I don't think he played as bad as Ryan Gravenberch. But in that moment, I just thought to myself, whilst we've got these under the cosh and they're just trying to hoof balls out, I want an extra tall person there to get on an header and make it a bit more physically tough, even though he got bullied a little bit. It is what it is. Look, they've took 4 points from us. They're back in the title race. And Liverpool need to forget this result and try and move on as quickly as possible.
That's the point, isn't it? It's early enough in the season that it's recoverable, this. And we're still top of the league, as we say. We're going to come on to all of those feelings and everything towards the end of the show when we talk about the title race, Dan. But let's talk the first goal, mate, because I think there was a few issues with that first goal for me. I don't know about you, but like, Zinchenko coming inside affects Trent's positioning, I think. I think, you know, you can question Virgil van Dijk and what he did in the lead up to it, because Odegaard's on an island and he decides to step near the island but not onto the island and finds himself nowhere, basically. And then, yeah, it's just poor all round. It's just one-touch football from Arsenal playing through us quite easily, isn't it?
Yeah, easily is the word, quite frankly. And I think that will have annoyed Jurgen Klopp, because it was with ease. They absolutely sighed through us, and it was just too straightforward. We mentioned before how Arsenal seemed very much prepared for what Liverpool had to throw at them. I don't think we were prepared for that necessarily, because we didn't look at it anyway. And Virgil van Dijk, he's obviously the captain, he's the leader of that back line in particular, and he's supposed to be the one sort of marshalling those around him to make sure that sort of situation doesn't happen. Obviously it can, of course it can. Good football can undo any football team, of course it can, but I'm not sure that was the case really. It was all a little bit too simplistic for me. And when you've got two attackers bearing down on your keeper, you know, something's gone wrong somewhere along the way, hasn't it, essentially? And Steve mentioned it before in terms of a lack of pace, lack of physicality at the back. I mean, Konate, he embodied pace and physicality normally, doesn't he? But yesterday, it just evaporated from him. There's a couple of times where he's trying to keep up with Martinelli on recovery and couldn't do it. And that isn't Ibu Konate, so I'm not sure what the case was there. Maybe he needs a rest more than anyone. He's going to get it now, of course. But yeah, in terms of the first goal itself, obviously Alisson does well. The finish isn't very good, but he makes that happen by being there, by getting out nice and quick, which he's excellent at when it comes to one-on-ones. Saka does the rest. But yeah, from a defensive point of view, it's poor, it's weak, it's passive. And I think, obviously, relatively early in the game, I think really looking back now in hindsight, it kind of summed up Liverpool performance, because we were that pretty much throughout, weren't we? Other than that 5-10 minute spell, it was all a little bit too easy for Arsenal. And although Arsenal weren't at their clinical best and they weren't exactly sort of honing shots down time and time again, and Alisson, it was quite straightforward for them, and that goal summed it up.
That's it, isn't it? And Steve, like Chloe mentioned it before about Gravenberch, and I think it's an important conversation that we need to have. And it's not just Gravenberch. I think there was one midfielder that I thought played well yesterday, and his name was Alexis McAllister. You know, in terms of the eights, though, Kurt Jones and Gravenberch, they just weren't involved enough, were they?
No, I'm surprised Gravenberch started, to be honest. If I'm Harvey Ellis, I'm fuming when that team comes out. Really, absolutely fuming. I think he starts because he's tall. I think Chloe mentioned it before. I think it's a height thing, because Arsenal are really good at set plays and they've got a big team, because you add, you know, two centre-halves plus Rice plus Havertz as well. They're a big side. I get it. But there's no way I can have the Ryan Gravenberch playing. It looks like his position for Liverpool is left eight. Kurt's been playing, so he's almost become Kurt Jones's backup. With Szoboszlai being out, I just presume that should be Harvey Elliott's role. He should be the right-hand side, because the goal comes kind of from there. He's not great without the ball at the moment, Ryan Gravenberch. We've got a problem. He kind of presses, but he kind of doesn't do anything. He doesn't get in the way enough, and he's not really good in the challenge, really. So there's a little bit of a weakness there. And I was thinking, Jürgen puts so much emphasis, doesn't he, on time together and training and pre-season. We signed this lad on deadline day. He didn't get any of the camps. He didn't get any of the training camps that Jürgen really drills all this stuff down. And it looks like he's finding it a little bit tough in those regards. When he's on the ball, and he's great in tight spaces, he's fantastic. And he's got those little bits of quality, and he can arrive and goal score, because they're more instinctive footy things. But I think in terms of his defensive position, I think it's poor at this moment in time. Jones, again, I thought he was okay without the ball, but with the ball, we didn't really find him. It was not
until he dropped deeper, in which case really it's harder.
And then kind of like, well, that's kind of negating what he's good at. He's better in those tight spaces further forward. So yeah, it was just a bit messy. As for the goal, I think Virgil's a stinker, to be honest with you. On that first goal, I think a lot of it can be down to him, because you can't step out there. You are taking yourself out the game. You just let him have it. Just say, you listen, he's having it. And it's very unlike Van Dijk, because if anything, Van Dijk gets criticised for not doing that. It's usually Konate who'll go and do that and leave Van Dijk in the one-on-one situation. So I thought Virgil, maybe it felt like it was born out of frustration of the fact that we hadn't had a kick. And he's like, right, I'm the captain, I'll go and box this off. And he's taking out the game. Listen, I never once thought Kai Havertz was going to score that goal ever. In a million, he was just never going to score. They get half a bit of luck, but again, they kind of earned it a little bit. You earn your luck, don't you? Alisson's really unlucky, because he makes a good save. Saka's first touch is really good as well off the rebound. But I think all three of the goals actually Virgil van Dijk will look at himself and go, I wasn't great on any of them. And he has been fantastic this season. It's mad, because you look at the goal we score, their centre half has a bit of a stinker as well. So like two probably the two best centre backs in the league this season both had one at the one-all point. But yeah, it's Liverpool have got a problem at the moment when Szoboszlai isn't available. I think it has to be Elliot. Yeah.
He had so much in terms of getting the ball back for Liverpool, yeah. doesn't he? And he finds space, and that was the difference for me yesterday.
If he was 6'1", Chris, he'd be playing. He didn't do it yesterday. The reason I'm convinced the reason he plays because he's short, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably right as well. To be fair, like I could understand the Gravenberg thing, but we need to have the conversation, Chloe. I mean, he's had 16 starts for us now. He's made 28 appearances in total. He's played 1,396 minutes for us. He scored 3 goals, got 2 assists. What type of a player and what game suits Ryan Gravenberg? Because it didn't look like it was yesterday's game.
Yeah, it's really hard to say because when he first came in and he was, you know, being integrated into the squad, you looked at him and you thought, my God, this lad's got class. He's got quality on the half turn. If you give him a ball and he knows a lad's coming to him, he's going to turn them inside out and get off. He gets the assist in his first like Europa League game and then goes off with cramp, which we, in that moment, when he went down, we were all like, oh my God, no, don't let it be something serious because he looked that good. I think he's got a problem with the pressing and what he's being asked to do. I think that is the problem. I think he's got loads of quality. I think attacking, he's one of the best on the half turn. And when he's got his back to goal knowing and dragging us up the pitch. But like you said there, what game needs that? It probably wasn't this game. You need someone who's more defensive, who's going to watch the runs. You can't vacate the space. You need to, you know, when to press and how much to press. We always talk about it. And when Darwin Núñez first came in the side, we thought, he doesn't know when to press. He knows when to press now. But for the first couple of games, it was a bit like a lad running around like a headless chicken. And at times, I get that with Ryan Gravenberch. He doesn't quite know when to press and where's the best time. I'm not going to write him off. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't think he'll be a boss Liverpool player because I genuinely do believe it. I think, but the thing is, sorry to bring it up, like Jürgen Klopp's now going, so it might be a different system that Ryan Gravenberch is going to next learn, and maybe he fits that system better. I don't know, but yeah, he got bullied, which was my problem. Like when I mentioned there, I wanted him to stay on for a little bit. I just wanted him to have 5 more minutes, just delay the subs by 5 more minutes whilst we were on top. It was more the fact that we were on top that I didn't want the subs to come in straight away. But yeah, Harvey Elliott, like you said there, I did think Harvey Elliott would start. I was a little bit surprised by it, and then as the game went on, I just assumed it was because he's a bigger lad and we can get something from set pieces. But yeah, I'm not going to write him off. I think he's a boss.
I think he's a really good squad player as well, but yeah. for me at the moment, Dan, he is just a squad player.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way, doesn't it? And I'm still
not sure he's put 90 together.
No. I don't think he has. I checked the other day and he hadn't at that point, and I don't think that's changed, to be honest. So yeah, and listen, we all know, we're well versed in the problems he had last year, obviously not playing regular footy and all that sort of stuff, and obviously Steve referenced that he didn't have a proper pre-season, certainly not at Liverpool as well. So there are sort of mitigating circumstances in amongst all of this, learning a new league, etc. But ultimately now he's been here long enough, he's got enough minutes under his belt to at least sort of understand what's required of him in a Jürgen Klopp midfield, and he doesn't look like he's got that yet. And I think it's also not helped by the fact that obviously we've seen what Dom Szoboszlai has been capable of, and he essentially hit the ground running. We haven't quite seen the same with Ryan Gravenberch, I think it's fair to say. Completely get what both people are saying really in terms of his defensive responsibility and where he's lacking right now. I think he came through the ranks obviously at Ajax and was very much the star boy, and very much the star of most of the shows, to be honest with you, even at a first team level, getting the ball, watch what he can do with it. And that defensive responsibility wasn't really asked of him because Ajax dominate most games. They have 60, 70, 80% possession in some cases. So it is very front foot, and he didn't really need to do a lot of the other work. And the problem at Bayern was that he didn't want to take on much of his defensive responsibility. So Liverpool are still having to iron that out. But again, I echo what Chloe said there. Like in terms of raw talent, raw ability, he's got absolutely tons of it. It's just a little bit of a project footballer for now, and I don't know whether Liverpool can afford that, certainly not in these types of games. And in terms of the starting 11, I was comfortable with it because I really like Ryan Gravenberch, but again, I don't know whether that's his favourite side, and I'm not quite sure how long he can go on by saying that, because ultimately left side, right side, mate, you've just got to kind of do a job and get on with it. But yeah, in hindsight, Elliot, just because Elliot understands what's required, that's it for me. I think I really like Harvey Elliott as well, but I think Gravenberch might have more strings to his bow. But Elliot gets it.
It feels like that right hand side is a half fit Trent Alexander-Arnold, a little bit of an outer position Ryan Gravenberch and an out of position Cody Gakpo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a massive surprise that you're not getting much joy over there, really. I was surprised by the manager's selection of Gakpo on the right for that reason. I thought, when I seen the team, I thought, oh, Jota are going to play out right on the right. At least you've got Trent and Jota who know each other quite well. And then, yeah, Gravenberch dipping in and out. I was shocked by that. But next week feels like a Ryan Gravenberch game, Burnley at home, when you're going to have 70% of the ball. And a lot of it's going to be camped around the edge of their box. That feels perfect for him.
Yeah.
Those tight spaces, those unlocks. Like, he's involved in the goal. Like, our goal, he's in and around the edge of the box and he gets involved in it. He looks like he just, without the ball, he offers very little. You can run off him far too easily. And that's a problem. I'm not just digging him out, by the way, because he's clearly got a lot going for him. But
he's only 21 years old as well.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes you can forget that because he's
Curtis Jones got at times, like, it'll take time and it will. I don't think the manager did him any favours. I think if he's struggling to do it where he usually plays, moving him out of position is not going to make him any better. He struggles on the defensive side playing on the left. It's a fact that, I know it isn't that big a change, but it's still a change. It is a significant thing. I just don't think the manager did him any favours. Listen, he picked him and he'll have wanted to play. But this isn't just Captain Hines. I was thinking at the time that it probably should be Elliot, if not an else, on form alone. Like, what's Harry Elliot to do?
Well, Elliot just knows the system better.
What does he have to do to get a game?
Yeah.
If I'm him, I'm going to them. I'm knocking on the manager's door and going, listen, I can understand not playing when Szoboszlai's fit. I can get my head around that. But with all due respect, like, I've been better than him. Why? I would say that. Like, why is he in the team ahead of me? Because what does he offer that I don't offer? Tell me, because I'd like to know. You know, I want to be in the team next time.
Foot and a half.
And get the stepladder out, Harvey. Yeah. That might be the answer. But then, it didn't work for us at all.
No, what I will say, Gravenberch, though, we should really sort of factor in here. It's not through the lack of trying, because he gets back. Like, he does run back. There's a couple of moments yesterday where he was sort of making a couple of blocks and stuff like that. So he does want to do it. It's just not his first nature. It's second nature to him to want to run back. Harvey Elliott had this.
That one where he covered for Virgil van Dijk was absolutely superb.
So do it. It's just, like I say, it's almost an afterthought. If we had this for Harvey Elliott, we could have converted him into a midfielder. He didn't get back and help often enough, but all of a sudden he's learn that, likewise with Curtis Jones. So you've got to teach it.
Thing, is it? There's a difference between
it's a suitability thing.
It's instinctively doing it and thinking, oh shit, I've got to do it, and then going. They're completely.
Yeah, once you're thinking like that, you're second behind. Yeah, exactly. Going for Premier League footy. Yeah. Yeah. It was always the same with Shaqiri for me, and I've said this loads over the years. I watch him. He played for us for 3 seasons, and watch him looking over his shoulder to see what he's supposed to be doing. I'm like, that's just not right.
But Coutinho was the same. You know, when Coutinho played in midfield, he was brilliant, obviously. But you run all day. Yeah. You just stood on there and see you later. Yeah. It's gone. So it's
a want to do it, did he?
We finished talking about all the good stuff now. So Chloe, I want to know what your reaction to the second goal was like.
It was a bit like, oh God.
You text saying, get me out of here.
Yeah.
I'm a celebrity.
It felt like it came out of nowhere. We were on top, the subs happened, and look, they didn't help us. The kind of, it swung back in Arsenal's favour. But just a long ball, and I'm thinking, Virgil van Dijk. It wasn't even, if I would have made the vlog, it wouldn't have been in it, because I didn't think that Virgil van Dijk was in any danger at all. Turns out the ball ended up in the back of the net. And once again, it's the other side. So all I see is Alisson Becker go flying mid-air, not getting the ball. Virgil getting lobbed that way, and a ball's in the back of the net. It was ridiculous. And you just thought, lads, I'm sandwiches making mistakes, but could you not do it in the biggest games of the season, for the love of God?
And especially when it's two of our most world-class, most experienced, most brilliant players as well. Dan, you can't have those types of mistakes in the big games. It could define a season.
Yeah, it could do. I mean, ultimately, Liverpool can't let it, can they? But yeah, you're absolutely spot on. Like, the most experienced, the two you'd sort of call upon when times are hard and you're not at your best, you'd look to Alisson and you'd look to Van Dijk to sort of get you out of the shit, not put you deeper into it, because it was self-inflicted, which is why Steve's point before about Arsenal not necessarily hammering Liverpool's door down was spot on. We shot ourselves in the foot, certainly in this incident. It was more reminiscent of Ozan Kabak and Alisson than anything else, wasn't it, all them years ago? So, yeah. A really frustrating moment for me. Virgil van Dijk has owned it, which is good in essence.
I think he's done his goalie a favour.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I think it's Van Dijk's that.
I think it's both of them. I think he lets the ball bounce, which is
criminal.
Mad.
It's criminal.
Absolute criminal. Yeah. But also,
If Alisson
doesn't need,
that
well, he doesn't need to be there. Get out of the way.
Alisson goes because he's panicked because Van Dijk hasn't dealt with it.
I know. Well, I just think if he stays, Van Dijk can just nod it back to him. It's both of them. They're both,
Van Dijk should have nodded back to him regardless.
Yeah, I think both of them mess up. I think Alisson.
Yeah, but one leads to the other. That's absolutely. Yeah. Van Dijk messing up leads to Alisson messing up.
100%. Van Dijk needs to not let the ball bounce.
Yeah, that's so bad.
You're taught that from the age of 10. And it's mad because on the first goal, he's too committed to go and win the ball. And then on the second one, it's the exact opposite. He's too passive. And it's like, fucking hell, Virgil, pick one. Because if you'd have done the second, if you swapped around, and we wouldn't have conceded, he messes up. I do think, Alisson, I know what you're saying, it leads one leads to another. I think I'm never a fan of goalies rushing out when there's a defender around. It can lead to too many problems. You've got to trust that the best centre-back in the world is going to box this off, even though he's fucked up the first time.
But there's absolutely no intent from Van Dijk to go anywhere near the ball.
No, I know it's mad. So
at what point does Alisson have to go for the ball?
Do you think he's closer to the area, do you think, Van Dijk?
I think Van Dijk, I personally think that Van Dijk thinks the ball's getting into the box before the striker can get there.
Yeah,
and as soon as Alisson realises that's not happening, he has to go with his feet.
Yeah,
but if you're coming up, I just need you to volley Van Dijk at that point as long as you get the ball.
That was the problem.
Just clear all three of them out.
Yeah, that's what I need you to do.
Just smash them and you might get away with a yellow because they've got a defender there. I'm never a fan of goalies. When there's a defender rushing back, a goalie rushing out, and I'm never a fan of it. I'd rather him stay and trust that Van Dijk will eventually deal with it. But, like you said, one mistake led to the other. Letting the ball bounce is just
crazy. Can I ask a question then? Here's one that nobody might have considered. I'll go with Dan for this one. What do you think he was attempting to do, Alisson?
Alisson?
Yeah.
Just welly it down.
Do you think he was attempting to welly it?
Welly it, yeah.
I think he was attempting to control it on the outside of his boot.
No, he's just trying to welly it.
I really do, you know.
It looks like once he jumps, it looks like he's trying to flick it around him. A little touch. He just needs that. Yeah.
I think that's what he's trying to do.
It's not the time for that.
It's very much not the time.
Watch
it again.
I've been waiting to watch it again, to be honest.
I'm like, he's not leathering that.
It kind of clips off Virgil, doesn't it?
That's
the issue. You can split hairs. It's crap by both of them.
Yes.
And that's what it is. It's crap by both of them.
And in a game of that magnitude as well, you just can't afford it. This is where I love Virgil van Dijk, of course, but sometimes you just want that no-nonsense defending, and that was it. If there's ever time for it, it was that. In that circumstance, when you've been under the cosh a little bit, you're not at your best, don't piss around because you get hurt.
It's where Van Dijk can deal with it, but decides to engage the player.
Yeah,
and I'm like, why?
I think Konate would have been
slowing down to back into a player when you could have just walked. You could have just strolled away from it with the ball if you wanted.
Give me that Phillips in that situation, let alone Konate.
Konate would have just won the let it bounce. Virgil sometimes he's that good that he goes, I'll let that bounce. I'll hold him off on my sound. And listen, he's good enough to do it. He really is, and he's done it time and time again. But They weren't looking like they were going to score. They just wasn't. And I do wonder if Virgil's starting to, a bit like Chloe said, you know, we're on top here. Can I get this ball down? Can I start playing? Can I get us on it? And it's a shambles, really. And it's great captaincy to come out and shoulder the blame.
Yeah.
It really is. Take the pressure off. You can't come out and go, yeah, me and Ali could have done better, because why would you do that to him? But yeah, it's a very strange decision that, because he's so good in the air. Like, it's probably his best attribute, and he's got everything. Don't get me wrong. We've seen him head up balls where some people just clear. He passes it with his head.
Mm.
Like, he could have done that. Like, there's a million different options. I'd love to know, because he says, like, I should have dealt with it, but I'd love to know what was he trying to do? Because, like, we've had a guess what we think Alisson was trying to do.
I think he was just hoping the ball goes into the air and Alisson can pick it up.
Mm.
And I think Alisson realised it's not making it to the penalty area. I'm not going to be able to grab this, so I have to deal with it.
Yeah, I wonder if this, because Saliba did the same, didn't he? He thought it was going to roll through to Raya, and he never. It felt like maybe it's just nerves of a big game where it even affects, because those two have been the best centre halves, and usually they both deal with that. Saliba just kicks that out for a corner or a throw in. Van Dijk usually just deals with that. He's just got to
survive that moment. That's what it's about, isn't it? You know, not the ball clear, pass back to your goalkeeper, whatever.
Just go for a throw. You need to reset. You're 1v1 here. And obviously Virgil will back himself. But I do think the way the game played out is the reason why he did it, in my mind. Because we'd struggled for 45. We just about got on top. And now he's seeing a ball get hoofed and he's thinking, I'm gonna try and get us back on the front foot. I'm going to, you know, Martinelli's got nothing on me and I'm just going to put some space between us.
Fuck, that's the worst thing about it. He'd give up. He'd thought, I've got no chance here.
Yeah. Christmas Day. Absolutely terrible. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on from that one because we've got the third goal to talk about, Chloe. Did you think that Alisson fucked up for the third goal?
Yeah, I did. Close your legs.
See, I disagree big time on that now.
Why?
The first time I saw it, I thought, oh, well, you've had a stinker.
It takes
a touch of Virgil, but there shouldn't be a ball-sized hole between his legs.
The deflection kills him, I think.
But there shouldn't be a ball-sized hole between his legs.
Yeah, but if you look where he's diving to where the deflection was.
But there shouldn't be a ball-sized hole between his legs.
Either way, which is what you should expect as a goalkeeper.
There's no way he can score near post. But there's just no chance.
But you know what? There shouldn't be a ball-sized goal.
Yeah, there's got to be somebody diving, isn't he, for the ball?
No, I don't think.
He's not diving. He's blocking.
I don't think it's great from Ali. Don't get me wrong. I hate when defenders just dangle a little leg out. Yeah, either jump in and block it like Konate, where you fly in, or get the fuck out of the way. Like, those little dangly legs kill you. Joe Matip's done it a few times. Mm. Virgil's done it a few times. You either have to go in and like I say, Konate's the best blocker I've seen. Him and Stefan Onjo, that type of block, that's a block. Get in there and absolutely fly in, or get out of the way. You can't just let these little dangly legs, they kill you for... They kill goalkeepers. You've got no chance.
So are you giving Alisson a pass on that?
Oh, I'm not giving Alisson a pass on that.
Jesus, I think a pass is maybe too harsh. I think he's going to save it until it takes the deflection.
80-20, fortune blame.
I'd say he's going to save it until it takes the deflection. I think it's hard lines. I think that one is hard lines. Okay. And what causes that one? It's fucking Ibu Konate getting sent off. That's what causes that goal. We've got Luis Diaz and Navier playing right wing.
And this point was Thiago playing centre back. Yeah, I can't even remember.
Yeah, it was Thiago on his own.
The back line, I'm pretty sure, went Robbo, Thiago, Virgil on the right. He never moves to the right. And then Luis Diaz.
Yeah, because we took Gomez off to get Thiago on, which made sense. Liverpool chasing the game. And then a minute later, Ibu gets sent off. Or something like that. That's
a stupid sending off as well. And I don't think the referee was good yesterday, Chloe. In fact, I thought he had a bit of a shocker of a game. For both teams, though, I don't think it was just like only Liverpool fans can sit here and say he's had a poor game. I didn't think he controlled the game particularly well. But the second yellow, I don't know, man. I'm not sure it was a second yellow. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how he can move out the way. Kai Havertz is holding his face when no one's gone near his face. That's fair. What I can say. But also a ball's being put behind him, and if you're in the way, a player's going to run into you and they're going to go down.
I think he could have been cuter, Chloe, though. I think if he does the hands to the sky, oh shit, he's ran into
That's
me.
The problem, isn't it, Dan? It's the hands on him.
Yeah, as soon as he does that,
John mentioned this to us last night, didn't he?
Yeah, as soon as he touches him with his hand, he's got a problem for me. If he just stands there and he happens to run into him, so be it.
He's very handsy, isn't he?
Yeah, very handsy. It's almost like I'm going to show you how strong I am. He doesn't need to use his hands for that. He can just use his frame for that because he's massive. Even the first one was a bit of six of one, half a dozen of the other, the first yellow for me. Like, they're both grappling, they're both at it. It's a foul in terms of it's a free kick to Arsenal. I'm not sure the yellow was warranted for the first one, but once you've been booked, you can't engage in anything else, can you? And listen, can I? Arte wasn't at the races yesterday, much like most of the Liverpool lads, to be honest with you, and he ends up walking for it, and I haven't got any huge gripe, and I struggle to sit and sort of criticise the referee, and you're right, he wasn't very good for either team, but when Liverpool have been so far off it and were very much second best, I just kind of got to sit here and say, we weren't very good.
That's what I did inside the stadium. All of these incidents are happening the other side of the stadium. None of these are in front of me. And I just sat there after Ibu Konate got red carded, didn't moan and just thought, yeah, that sums up this performance.
That is right.
And I didn't have anything to blame throughout the entire game. I've not seen a load of things back because I couldn't put myself through seeing them again and again and again and again like you can on the replays. It'd show us on the screen exactly what happened. And I was just like, I'm not even watching.
You don't feel better for watching it.
It's a lack of subtlety from Ibu, really. There's ways that you can block people without grabbing them. Like he gets his hands on people a lot and it gets you into trouble. He should have got sent off against Everton, remember, for sort of not too dissimilar. He got away with that one.
Line, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, and, Just put your hands up. You're that big. Put your hands down by your side. Put your hands behind your back and say, listen, I was trying to get out of his way. He's running to me. As soon as you put your hand towards his face, you're going to get booked.
So that's the other thing in all of this is, for me, and I sort of said this on some of the content last night, is you've had a bad day. Don't let it bleed into the next game, and getting sent off bleeds into the next game.
Absolutely.
And that's a bit stupid.
And
for
also,
me.
The 7 minutes injury time, like with 10 men, if it's 2-1, they are shitting themselves. They are going to be back to the wall, and we've got all the attackers on. We've got two defenders on, and it's all attacking players, and we're just going to go and see if we can grab something. A bit like Luton, where we just get something at the death. That was still on the cards for us. That killed it. I was thinking, like, in terms of the yellow card stuff, the only thing that's a gripe with the ref is that Gabriel does the exact same thing to Darwin. Probably worse.
Well, anyone on Diaz all day was doing it exactly.
And then Darwin got yellow card for arguing about it.
Yeah.
And I feel it's because Gabriel was on a yellow at that point as well. He probably could have gone. It could have been 10 versus 10 for 7 minutes. I think that's what pissed Jürgen off. But I think the second debut yellow is a yellow. I don't think the first one was.
I don't.
But once you're on it, you're on it. You know what I mean? But you've got to play the game properly. And he just didn't.
Well, listen. Obviously, we've talked about the big decisions in the game and all that type of stuff and the big mistakes. One of the things that I thought, Chloe, that was a bit nuts to me is, when you bring Darwin Núñez on and you know the impact that he's had playing on that left-hand side against Arsenal at the Emirates in recent weeks, to just see Núñez central was a bit nuts to me.
No, I couldn't understand it because he's your outball and you need him running in behind. And look,
and it's what we didn't have all game, an outball.
Exactly. I didn't think Luis Diaz had a bad game. I think he was the only one who really put himself about and can walk off the pitch and be like, well, I've gave it everything. But every time he had the ball at his feet, was it Ben White he was up against? Ben White just backed off. He didn't want to engage in it. He didn't want to get, turned inside out. And I just thought, put Darwin Núñez on, do a diagonal ball, hit it in behind and just chase after it. And look, we didn't do it. We put him central. He couldn't get the ball. I'd be surprised how many touches he had because I didn't see anything. And you felt like he wasn't in the game, but it wasn't his fault. There was no one. He couldn't hold the ball up and turn and bring other players in because we weren't good enough for that. And you did just need to say, lads, it's a ball in behind. You've brought Thiago on. Now you do it. You're the wizard in midfield. We got McAllister there who can do it. And that was why you mentioned earlier how mad is it that Trent and Núñez didn't play because Trent's the one with those diagonal balls that I just thought. As soon as I saw Darwin Núñez start warming up, I thought to myself, get him on the left, diagonal ball from Trent. And then when Trent went off, I thought, could you have left that 5-10 minutes?
Who else is playing those balls? Because we didn't see anything from Van Dijk in terms of diagonals. We couldn't get it in behind Arsenal at all. No. In fact, Arsenal were the one transitioning and quickly and breaking on us. Yeah. It's the first time all season I've seen us not be able to do it to somebody, Steve.
Yeah.
And yet, for all of that, there was, and all of the Van Dijk and the Alisson talk, there was one thing that pissed Dan off more than any of it, and it was Darwin Núñez.
The shot.
It killed me.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
It killed me.
Yeah, it was bad. he gets in and he just fires it. He could cross in, he just fires into the stands.
He made half a yard. He done the hard bit.
If he passed it first time, Javier, it's Fraser Burden.
He didn't even need to pass it. I said this last time.
Well, yeah, across the box.
Yeah, literally fizzed that across the 6-yard box.
Fired him up. Watch him go. He was fuming yesterday.
Yesterday was shambolic. Pretty much from start to finish. But that killed me because fizz that across the box, it hit anyone. I referenced the Joe Matipone goal at Spurs. Someone dangles a leg, it flies
in front of his man.
Jota's there or thereabouts.
Harvey Elliott's there.
You've got like a 2.5 foot squared option of shooting. That's the only place you can score. The angle's impossible. What are you doing?
Yeah, it wasn't great. That it was poor. But what's weird, but again, I feel like I'm digging Jürgen Klopp out here. I'm not. But I don't get why you put Núñez against their best players. Their best players
their
are
their best players,
and the fella in front of them, he's brilliant. Off that little triangle of Gabriel, Saliba, Rice is fantastic. It's why Arsenal are where they are in the league. It's brilliant. Three absolutely fantastic players, and the fullbacks aren't that good. Kvyat isn't great. He come on at half time. So go and have a go with him. Even if you go get Diaz against them and Keita Darwin, go and have half an hour, running at Ben White, and you'll beat him a couple of times. But Darwin he had two behind him and Declan Rice sitting in front of him, and you could tell that's probably why he's probably frustrated. He's starved of the ball. It was really strange.
I didn't like his reaction with Gabriel as well. Did anyone? Did you like that? The fucking laugh and joke and stuff, and I didn't like
that.
I didn't like that at all. Mate.
I was like, too busy ducking from the ball.
It was it was bizarre. Like, it just nothing quite made sense in terms of how we were trying, what we were trying to do. It like the people in wrong place. Like, it's a bit like square peg round holes type of stuff. It's like
it was an off day for everyone, wasn't it?
Yeah, everyone had a bit of a stinker.
Luke chose the only one I can say who I
him
thought.
And McAllister.
What I would say again, and it's no one's fault, but like, God bless Conor Bradley, but I wonder if he was in line. If he was in line to start that one, because he didn't look fit either. No. Really, Trent didn't look.
And Canate looked tired at times.
There's no joy chasing Martinelli back, but Conor Bradley would be game. God bless him. Listen, I hope he's all right, and obviously he's gone through with his dad. But like, and it's, some things are bigger than footy. But I half wonder if Liverpool's plans in training all week have been for Conor Bradley to play.
Yeah.
And that's why Gomez is doing the inverting, because we've been training with him for a few days, and it was meant to be Bradley, but Trent's had to come in, and we can only give him an hour. Imagine if it was Bradley for an hour and then Trent coming on for half an hour. That might have been the plan. And then you do bring Trent and Darwin on together. Obviously circumstances dictate that wasn't the case, and it's a shame really, because for him as well, obviously, bless him, like, bigger, more important things than footy, but like he was half earning the shirt, you know what I mean, bless him. So I hope if he's all right, as and when he is, whenever that is, the second he's available, I'd love him to start again and say, listen, have another go at it because you deserve it. Because I see Liverpool really...
We missed him.
That right-hand side
was better.
Yeah, it was better with
when Jota was playing and not Salah, with Conor Bradley there.
Yeah. Because that right-hand side have never played a game before together, and they did it against Arsenal away at the Emirates to start it. Not the place to be doing that. And it was mad because people on the concourses were going... I'd have loved Conor Bradley forcing Martinelli back the other way. The cross he dug out for Dom's goal the other day is silly. Like, I don't get how he's wrapped his foot around it enough to put it pinpoint on his head. We missed him, and look, of course he missed the game, and no one get, like, take as much time as you need, it's absolutely fine, but how good it should feel for him, for us all to be sitting here and saying we missed Conor Bradley.
Trent looked knackered, and what was mad, Robertson looked goose when he come on. He only played half an hour and he looked knackered. Like, both of them are lacking match fitness. I'm not sure why we needed to. I'm guessing again, if Conor Bradley was fit, Gomez would have played the whole game at left back. I think the only reason Gomez switches to right back is because they don't think Trent can do the full game.
Yeah.
So circumstance kind of dictates that they've got to do it. But yeah, bedding players back into fitness away at the end, which is never ideal.
You have to run a season like we're doing, challenging for competition.
No, I think you can rotate, but not you would never want someone's first.
But
game
I go back to,
to be
I
the,
go back to the yeah. point, Steve, and I think it stands is that it's worked all season long.
Dropping someone's first game.
No, just the way he's managed this squad has worked all season long. So it feels like, it feels like hindsight that we're doing this with hindsight. And obviously we will do because we've lost the game. But going into this, everything he's done has kind of worked. He's had the Midas touch, he's made the changes.
I don't think he wanted. That's what I'm saying. I think if Conor Bradley was available,
I think he would as well. That's kind of the point. He couldn't.
That's kind of what I'm saying is that. It looked like Trent wasn't ready to play, but he had to play. That's my point here, is that affected
Trent was definitely more ready than Robbo. That was the point, isn't it?
Lesson of two evils, Ideally, you wouldn't have had to play both of them. Both of them aren't quite there yet. So I do think, like, they were crap. Don't get me wrong, they were crap, but also they've been half unlucky there. So obviously I was in the team on Friday, he was training, and he's not. You know, it's just like... It felt like there was,
and that's when you've got no Salah, when you've got no.
There's
end,
one
no,
that would,
it's one too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The straw that breaks the camel's back might just be that last little one, because if it's Samaz Lyon or Bradley, if one of those two is available, but maybes. The fact is, too many of them underperformed on the night, and we could have got something out of it, but we'd have been sat here going bloody hell.
Well, isn't it? And it has blown the title race wide open, and that's the conversation that we're going to go to next, but we're going to have a dead short break before we do that. Every single month for our legend subscribers on redmenplus.com, we have an incredible prize draw. Great prizes to be won. This month's is no exception. It is a signed 08... 09 away shirt signed by none other than Mr. Daniel Agger. Yes, Danny Agger signed shirt. You just need to sign up at redmenplus.com as a legend subscriber and you will be in with a chance to win this incredible prize.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiya, welcome back. Thank you very much for joining us for this one. We're going to talk about the title race now. Obviously, Arsenal's 3-1 victory over Liverpool has brought them well back into it, unfortunately, Chloe. But City have a massive game tonight against Brentford. Could it be the Ivan Toney show or...?
No. Mm-hmm. No, it can't. Love it to be.
They beat them home anyway last season. Just put that out there.
Yeah, they did. But Brentford are crap.
That's true.
I'm sorry.
Did they beat City though?
They did. And look, go and do it again. You know what? I'd absolutely adore if you did. I will be a Brentford fan tonight for 2 hours. But also, am I going to put myself through that? No, I'm probably not. I think...
You absolutely are. You are going to sit and watch every second. You're going to watch Monday Night Football from 6 o'clock. And then you're
doing Liverpool Arsenal for the first bet. We'll be watching that.
I will do it. But this is the thing, yesterday, before kickoff, I was thinking to myself, if we somehow get out of here with 3 points, that sends a message to City, because it's Arsenal away, the biggest game of the season, because City's at home. Mm-hmm. You just feel like at least you can have an impact as a fan on that game. If we came out with something from this game and they've got to travel away to Brentford, but seeing yesterday's result, Arsenal are made up, and rightfully so, but City are going to be absolutely made up, more than Arsenal potentially. Yeah. It puts them back in the driver's seat. So, yeah, look, I'd love them to drop points. Do I see it happening? Absolutely not. Am I going to put myself through the pain of them winning 4-0 and being 4-0 up and around 32 minutes in? Yeah, I am.
You are absolutely going to do it, aren't you? There's absolutely no chance I do. I'll wait for WhatsApp to tell me whether it's worth turning on, Dan,
or
not.
Keep you in the
loop. Well, that's it, isn't it? WhatsApp goes mental if something happens against Manchester City, and I'll look at my WhatsApp, I'll check my FotMob or my SofaScore app, I'll see where I am, and with about 15 to go, if the still winning, I'll turn it on.
And then they'll equalise.
And then they'll equalise. I'll turn it off and I'll carry on with the rest of the evening again and hope for it to improve. Masters of the Air is what I'm watching at the moment. It's fantastic. You know what? Brilliant.
Enjoy, mate.
Absolutely brilliant.
I had a little look at the fixtures earlier. Like, City's run where they might drop points probably comes a bit later on. They've still got to go to Tottenham where they don't particularly play well against Tottenham. They've got
Everton at the weekend. I think,
7-0.
12:30.
Everton's annual rollover and get tickled by Man City. They've got the derby, which again United have actually had a little bit of success against them in recent years, but not their capital. But listen, at some point someone's going to have to do us a favour. We have to beat them at home is the main thing.
Because it's in both of our hands at the moment, isn't it? The title.
I'm going to say this, and this might come back and absolutely kill me. It could be chopped up to death. And
oh, no.
I still think it's only us and City who can win the league. I still don't think Arsenal can win the league. I don't think they're good enough. There's nothing I saw yesterday that made me think they're going to be better than us. We were crap. Like, absolute crap on a stick, poked on fire, in a bin,
covered in more crap,
vomited on, and he still needed that goalie and defender to run into each other's goal. I just don't think they're that good. I think
they match up better against us than City match up against us. I think we've got more of a chance of winning a game against City than Arsenal.
I think
our weakness plays into their strength with Arsenal, and our strength plays. Do you know what I mean?
I still think they're the third best team. They might win, of course, because they've got the points on the board and they could go and do it. I think they're too emotionally in it, and sometimes that, I think that's a problem for them. I think
it's all right because they've got a really level-headed manager who keeps his feet on the ground.
I think if you finish with Manchester City, if we finish with Man City, I think we'll win the league. I think Arsenal will come third, is what I've seen from it. The issue is City are the kings of this. This is the point where they go when they press that button and they can just win 10 on the spin. So can Liverpool, don't get me wrong, so can us, so can we rather. We'll see how it all pans out. But that's the main fit. You're right. If you're the last Man City, what do you want to happen? Yes, they either love the draw or Arsenal win. The last thing they needed was Liverpool getting that win, because the game's in hands. Even with you won them both, they'd still been behind us. But yeah, it has. I've always thought, I just wish one time, just not have to be City. Can't just get me in a title race against Arsenal and I'll back us to the hilt. They're back again, these bastards. We nearly got rid of them. And then you turn around and there's the rearview mirror and there's the pegging after you again, and there they are now.
They're just looking ominous, Chloe, aren't they, really?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Haaland's back, De Bruyne's back.
But they haven't really got any injuries, have they, now?
No, they haven't. Back. They've got the best DM in the world for me in Rodri. There's no gaps. Like, we can talk about how people think that they've been defensively not the best, but trust me, when it gets to this time of the year, they just kick into gear and they just go. And you said there, Liverpool can go on that run. I don't know whether Liverpool can. The old Liverpool, who used to come up against that City side, yeah, but this team, I'm not too sure, can go 10 wins on the bounce without dropping a point here or there. City can. It's the majority of the same squad over and over again. They've got goals, they've got Kevin De Bruyne back, which is all we needed. It started when Salah got injured, and the next day they announced that Erling Haaland was back to being great. The week prior to that, they were losing to Newcastle and get a last minute winner, and it's like, yeah, we're going to have to do this.
It might be worth mentioning, like, they still needed them last minute. Early doors to be needing last minute winners.
Win a game last minute, though.
No, I get it. I understand.
The momentum it gives you, the feeling it gives you.
How many times can you keep doing that?
We're basing what we think they could do on City of last years, not this season's Manchester City. There is a difference there, in that. But obviously, the De Bruyne thing's massive. Even more so, probably the Haaland. Sure, I think he's so good, but like. No one's unbeaten. That's the problem. If City go right and win 18 games, then it's fair fuck.
I'm a bit with Chloe on this. I think, like, if Liverpool go unbeaten, Liverpool can go unbeaten for 10 or 15.
But they'll draw.
But there's three or four draws in there.
Yeah.
That's the difference with City. They're just going to go 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. Where's everyone else? And that's the scary thing. You are basing it off last season. But of course, you're basing off previous years and what Guardiola's done,
and it's
done
a lot of the same players.
Who's
the added? Who's changed in that team?
Gundogan is the big one.
But they just get Rodri to step up, apparently. Now
I get it.
You get other players to step. Bernardo Silva has done my head. He was off to Barcelona at one point. He's doing great.
He was always going to have to beat these, though. They were never going away.
When they come back from Christmas and they're still in touching distance, that was the point.
Because we could have gone like 10 points clear or 12 points clear or something ridiculous around Christmas, and all of a sudden they can go ahead with their game in hand. It's mental, and that's just what City do. It's not surprising. It's still annoying, but it's not surprising.
Do you think it's big, though, Chloe, that usually second half of the season we've got to go with the Etihad? It's always felt like that, like we've had to go with the Etihad late. Yeah. Like, they're going to come to Anfield later on. I wonder how that impacts things, because that's a big difference in there, that if they come to Anfield and we have to win, you'd give us half a chance because their record at Anfield is poor. That's the only thing I'm clinging on to a little bit there, is that Liverpool lost one game all season. They went from September till February without losing again. Yeah. Yes, they had a couple of draws in there, but I mean, bloody hell, you know what I mean? Like, it's some going. So I think they are more than capable of doing it again. But you are right, is that the buffer's gone, hasn't it? Buffer, there's no shame in losing at Arsenal. Like, City lost at Arsenal, the buffer's got, but your buffer's gone. So every week now, there's, you, not only are you looking at yourself, you're looking at them, and for a while we're looking at Arsenal as well.
You know what I would like to know is how many games against the top six we each have, because
I think we've
have
beaten Villa, haven't we?
Horrific against the top six.
Oh, record isn't great, but I think City have only got one win as well against the top six. So it's one of them for me. It's a bit of a misnomer, really. But you just said it there, Steve. You should be allowed to lose games of football. I say this week in, week out. It feels like on the podcast, but because of what Liverpool and Manchester City have done in recent years, Liverpool have had the odd off season in the amongst that, of course, it's become now an impossible, or almost it's the end of the world if you don't pick up 3 points, let alone just a draw. Because the reason I think it will be Liverpool City in terms of to the death of all this, because we're causing distance at it, both of us, and you're right, the personnel's changed in terms of inside the squad a little bit, but the manager's been there, he's done it, they know how to guide a team through this, and Klopp and Pep Guardiola past masters at it, of course. But in terms of sort of Liverpool right now, if you came down, if you never watched a game of footy before this season, especially and seeing that yesterday, you wouldn't have Liverpool as even being close to being in the title, would you? So you can't sort of write us off based on one performance. I still think we're in amongst it. I still think City will drop points. I haven't seen anything from City yet to suggest that they are going to do some crazy 15, 16, 17 game winning streak. Listen, they could do, of course, they could have done it before, but I still think this
it feels
is going
like they've
down.
Done it every year.
Yeah,
it does. That's the problem.
Yeah, it does. And of course,
I think they have.
They could do, yeah, but I still think this is going down to the wire. And nobody, again, no, it's all about sort of perspective and context. Nobody coming into the season thought we were going to win the league, let alone at a canter. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be grueling. We're going to have to keep an eye on Manchester City, but we're in it. We're there or thereabouts. And that's pretty much all we could have asked for.
And it can only really get better in terms of you'd hope with the players coming back for us. Yeah. And that's why Liverpool are in this thing. It's why I think Arsenal are in this thing. It's why I think City are in this thing. I think all three are good enough to go the distance or be there or thereabouts. If I had to place an order, you know, I'm looking at City probably as the favourites right now, and I think that's fair. I'm looking at Liverpool's maybe finishing second, and I'm looking at Arsenal's finishing third because of what Klopp has done in the past, because of what he's been able to get with this side, and that's my order. But I think it could go out anyway. I do think it could go.
I do wonder if it half suits us if Arsenal stick around as long as they can,
because someone else to concentrate.
Because they play City again. Like, just
do we know if it's away?
It's at the Emirates. No, sorry, it's at the Etihad. Arsenal beat them at home, so they've got to go there. They've got to play. The bet, I always think sometimes it might do us a favour them if they stay on it, just because it's relentless when it's just the 2 years. Like, someone else to put a bit of pressure on them as well. So not only do they have to worry about betting Liverpool, they've also got to worry about fending off Arsenal, because it's just tiring. There's no run the Jürgen's knackered. Like, honestly, God, it's this again, and we're all going to go through it again, and we're going to get to that last game of the season again, and we're going to need to have to get a win, and we know exactly how this is going to go. Liverpool were never going to just piss this league. It was never going to be like the one that when we won it last time was. The City are too good. They've got too much money, and they've got too many good players, and they've got one of the greatest managers of all time. It was never going to be easy. If you're going to win this title, you are going to have to earn every single part of it, and that's where we're at. Like, nothing's changed.
Yeah, and I think, Chloe, for me, like, you know, there's lads in this squad, this is their best chance of winning a league title, I think.
Yeah,
because Jürgen Klopp's in charge this season.
Yeah.
So if you're going to put everything into a season, this is the season to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And look, I'm one of those people who haven't gone too mental about the Arsenal game. It was a really crap game of football, but you've just got to box it and move on. You know, that is a one-off game. It's the second loss of the season in terms of the league. But the other one, there was many things that went on in that game that I could concentrate on more. This was Liverpool just didn't show up at all, and we didn't get anything out of the game. Move on from it, and you've got to go back, because I said before the game, if we turn up like we did against Chelsea, I don't think there's many that can compete with us. City's probably the only one there who I genuinely think, if on that day we played that same way, that they could keep up with this Liverpool side. And you've just got to forget it. You've got to move past them. Like Virgil said, he'll move past from this, he'll get better. Alisson needs to forget about it. Every single player does, because at the end of the day, you're still top of the table for now, and you've still got a chance, and you play Manchester City again, who are in my eyes the favourites. So you still have all the opportunities there. And that's what Jürgen will be saying. Take this as an opportunity, you know, to go and grab the headlines again, hopefully with more players coming back. Ottaru Endo, by the way, is coming back. Mm-hmm. It was massive in the period where we didn't have Alexis McAllister. Might mean that Alexis McAllister, you can see a bit further up the pitch. Who knows? But there's just so many more options.
Unless out for any length of time. Exactly. McAllister could play there. Trent could play there if Bradley comes back exactly. in. There's still options
Salah doesn't look like he's far away either.
No. So there still is a lot of positives, and you can just put it to it just was an absolute off day.
Just be barely next weekend, which
just
again,
keep going.
And then go again. Just be barely.
All about how we react.
Liverpool reacted so well to that Tottenham game. They could have sunk anybody. Yeah. You look at Arsenal, they got beat by West Ham, and then they sunk the next week. They got beat by Fulham. Straight away, bang bang, because their heads are gone, and then it took them a little while to get regroup. This Liverpool team are so mentally tough and so mentally resilient. You'd expect them to react well. Like, if I'm Burnley, I'm thinking, did Liverpool really lose two games in a row? Like, I don't know, like, are they on for a backlash? That's what you can do, because all we can do is concentrate on us. City, yes, we're going to need a favour, but it's good the fact that we might not need a favour. Like, if we do our job, we don't need a favour.
Yeah.
We have to, and it's at Anfield, I think that's huge. Yeah, I think if it was at the Etihad, where our record is appalling, you'd be thinking, oh, bloody hell.
Arsenal would be absolutely made up, I think.
Yeah, we've got to go there and get something. So it's so far away, Chris. Like 22 games. It's 16 more of this. Like, oh my God.
They all matter, don't they? Every single point's going to matter between now and the end of the season. Squad news then. Szoboszlai looks like it was a hamstring, I think, in the end.
He said he felt the same issue that he had, so they didn't want to take a risk on him. So hopefully it was just a precaution.
It was fatigue last time, wasn't it, as opposed to an injury?
Yeah, he's got a week and then another. It's a week to Burnley.
Then a midweek against Luton, isn't it? Yeah. And then the cup final against Chelsea. No,
there's a Brentford game first.
Stop it now. I was about to say, yeah, that's too soon.
It's Burnley and then a week then Brentford.
Sorry.
So you'd hope that you could be Burnley at home without him. So if he's got his eyes on that Brentford game, which is at fucking half 12 kick-off again.
Then maybe Salah for that one as well, do you think?
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Salah played against Burnley, would you? Looking at what he's like.
Endo will be back in for Burnley and the squad, certainly. Yeah. He was training today, wasn't he, Endo?
Yeah.
So he'll be back.
We'll see where young Conor Bradley's at.
Conor Bradley, however long he needs. Of course, Thiago, obviously back in the squad now. It does feel like
not play defence. That would be great.
Yeah, probably don't want him to be in centre back going forwards.
No. Can I just say
there is a Kwanzaa question for the weekend?
Will he play? That's exactly that's what definitely want.
Alliteration,
unless it's Gomez.
No, it'll be Kwanzaa. But can we ask Thiago not to do that pass that he's had?
Oh my God.
No way, just look. That one, no.
Stop, just stop doing it. Honestly, mate, just stop that. Like, you've been back literally 5 minutes.
But he wouldn't be Thiago without it.
Ease yourself in, mate. He could rip Burnley apart. Like, that's how good he is if he plays and gets some minutes. So you are right, the squad looks fresher now than it's ever looked, really. Once Salah's back, everyone else is there or thereabouts.
We also to get some force break, looked like he needed it.
Yeah.
Well, Kwanzaa played against Burnley in the league anyway, and that was a manager's decision. I wouldn't have been shocked if he'd have done that anyway, because after that, then it's going to be Brentford, Luton, final. So this is probably the time where Konate probably needed a little break anyway, but...
Is there any other side, do you think, that obviously Villa seems to be back now? You know, scored 5 goals at the weekend. Is anyone looking at them, or is it very much just the three? Or is anyone thinking it is just two teams that can win this league?
Two can. If I had to put my house on it, I'd do the order you said that would be in terms of my favourite. There's nothing I've seen there that makes me think they can win it or will win it. I think they've got the talent. They need somebody soon. And maybe it starts, because you always say, don't you, as a striker you just need that one to bounce in off you. Maybe Martinelli now goes on a run and he gets his shooting boots on and scores. Saka does the same, because they've both got them, but he went off injured, didn't he? So we'll see how he is, but I still think it's the worst City are going to do is second, and I think the worst Liverpool are going to do is second.
What about you, Clown?
I mean
do you think Arsenal can win the league?
I think Arsenal can win the league.
I think they can win the league.
Do you?
No.
You don't?
I don't.
See?
I don't. Good side. And I think I agree with what you said before. I think they are kryptonite a little bit. But I also think that they've got what they did at Christmas time in them again.
Yeah.
Between now and the end of the season. I don't think they can afford that. A loss, an unexpected loss, followed by another one. And that kills them. Did it last year? Exactly the same.
The thing is I just think City are the outright favourites. I think Liverpool can do something special. And I really do hope they do. But... the season we won the league, I wouldn't let myself believe we'd won the league until Manchester United, and we'd won the league before Manchester United. But just because you don't want to get your hopes up personally, I try and put it out of my mind as soon as possible. Arsenal are a really good side, and you just they needed a win like that. So yeah. Who knows how they're going to bounce back? Would it surprise me?
Would you be shocked if West Ham got on?
No, not in the slightest.
West Ham were horrific against United the other day.
Yeah,
right?
They was. But,
that is the thing with Arsenal is I don't like this season. I don't really think the dross can touch us. I think we're very good at beating the dross. Our problem is actually the other end of the table at the moment. Whereas Arsenal, I still feel have us from 4 or 5 years ago, where
big games,
the big games, they're turning up, but the bottom ones, they're just struggling to get the wins, and that's difficult to get over, and that's why I had them third. But all that being said, I do actually still think they can win the league.
Yeah,
I do, because I think they are just defensively really strong, good from set pieces. They do have playmakers, not as many as us and City. Mm. Everything needs to go right for them to win the league. I think everything needs to go right for us to win the league at this point as well. City, I don't feel like that. I don't feel like everything needs to go right for City, unfortunately.
2 weeks ago, I wasn't looking at Arsenal scores. I will still be looking at Manchester City scores. Oh, yeah. That is how you can tell who I think the favourite
is. It's like PTSD,
are,
isn't it?
Because that's the team.
We know what's coming. Like, we're here again.
I'm supremely confident, you know. Like, listen, yesterday was Clipper. Horrendous. No, I am. I am supremely confident. I just am. And it might be misplaced, might be misguided, might be complete headstrong bias, I'm not quite sure. But yesterday was horrific. And I said earlier on, if you'd never watched a game of footy this season, you would not have us as title contenders based on that 90-odd minutes. We were terrible. But I still think we can win this. I absolutely still think we can.
Of course we can. 100%. Yeah. We're not out of the league because of yesterday's performance.
No. But a lot of people would have us as that. People saying
we've got
like
a chance of winning this league because of all the other performances.
Yeah. And because of how good we are and how strong the squad is and the fact that Man City, I'm not quite sure they're bulletproof anymore.
You don't lose a league by losing points away at the Emirates. That's not what costs you a league.
Well, see, if unless Arsenal win it, whoever wins the title is good. Arsenal has lost the
But I still believe in the squad. I'm still excited for the rest of the season. That's the hardest game out the way.
If you throw it in, but losing in the Emirates in February, if you throw the towel and then you're not champion material. You don't deserve it.
It's the worst performance of the season, and we can call it that, but it doesn't define our season.
Well, that's the outlier. That's the point. That is the outlier. We haven't been that bad. We've been poor in certain games, like Luton. We were terrible, but we managed to get a point. There's been other games where
I'd much rather have that performance now than in a month's time.
Yeah, could have come at a good time. I agree. Yeah, because you look at what Virgil van Dijk was saying, and on the back of it, you know, if it's gonna sort of, we've got the Klopp news sort of to inspire us, and then that yesterday, a bit of an eye opener, a bit of a wake up call if it was needed. It was mad. What's most sort of mental about yesterday and just how bad it was is the fact that it was in such stark contrast to what we've seen in midweek. Yeah. Our best performance of the season 3 days prior to that. That's what's mental. Maybe that took too much out of the legs. I'm not quite sure. Because
there's
Klopp
been a lot
said,
of games as well.
Well, that's it. I think Klopp referenced the fact that at the end of the Chelsea game, they did look a bit done in the dressing room because it took so much out of them. So maybe that had a knock-on effect. I'm not quite sure. But that's what was so eye-opening to me, just how different the performance levels were.
Okay, so based on what we've been talking about, I've given you my top three, what I think is most likely to happen. I'm going to ask for everybody else's. Start with Chloe.
Think.
Are you going to be a shithouse?
No, I think we're going to win the league.
He said it.
Liverpool, City, Arsenal.
City, Liverpool, Arsenal.
Liverpool, City, Arsenal. Last day, bonanza.
So my brain is telling me that it's City, Liverpool, Arsenal.
My heart
is telling me Liverpool by 9 points. Over
Villa second.
And Haaland moves to Real Madrid at the end of the season to link up with Mbappe and Jude Bellingham, and no one ever wins another European Cup. That's on my heart, though.
Yeah,
that's my fears. Lots of fears around Haaland going, but yeah, I think that's it. We're going to go and do the Biased Football Podcast now over on redmenplus.com. We've got no codes, so just go over there, sign up, pay full price. We do loads and loads of incredible content each and every single week, and we are ramping it up to the Carabao Cup final soon on Red Men Plus. We've got some incredible content lined up. Redmenplus.com, join from as little as $6.99 a month. Thank you to Steve, thank you to Chloe, thank you to Dan for this one. We'll do the Biased Football Podcast next.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.